Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
To the book of Romans. To the book of Romans. Bible says, the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. I want you to underline that. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, I want to be a godly person on the inside, not just the outside. The outside part's easy. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give me the words, the insight to convey what you've placed in my spirit for this week. Lord, I pray that you give us ears to hear, not just what the preacher says, but what the Spirit says, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. How many knows that you can look the part without being the part? And sometimes in some instances, you can be the part without looking the part. But what is more important, looking the part or being the part? And of course, your answer ought to have been to be the part. Whatever it is. You know, I don't necessarily want to look like a pastor. What does a pastor look like? I don't know. It's changed over the years. I know what it used to look like. I know of a man that literally, I'm not exaggerating, used to cut his grass in a three-piece suit because he was a pastor. That's what people thought he ought to look like. Now, if you come by my house, me cutting my grass, number one, I ain't going to be out there cutting my grass. It's too hot. But if I had a lawnmower, I'd be out there in my shorts. So what is it? What I want to talk to you for a little while this morning about what's your sign say? What's your sign say? What are you trying to portray? Because if you are trying to portray a certain image, then you've got to dress the part in order for people to know. You know, they have, and I'm still really not sure, I still can't tell exactly who's who, but I know that they have these different demographics of people. You know, I know they got gothic people. I know what they look like. I know they got hippies. I know what hippies look like from my generation. And you know, and then they got the preppies, and then they got the rappers, and then they have, and I'm not sure what these are, hipsters. I think I know, but I'm not sure. So some of you young people gotta point it out to me. I think I know if I see a big group of them, but just to see one person, I don't really know what a hipster is. I know that they wear like glasses when they don't need to wear glasses or something like that, right? Some black rimmed or something, I'm not sure. And then I know what bums look like because I've been one of those. And so I know what drunks look like. I know what the different demographics look like, but you know, the hipster, I'm still not sure of. Nerds, I understand nerds. I know what they look like and, see a few of them in the crowd and, not going to mention anybody. But I know what those mean. But the question that I want to ask you is, what does your sign say about you? What image are you trying to portray? What image are you trying? Now, there are some people who will try to portray that, yes, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Well, how do you know that you're a Christian? Well, because my dad was a Christian, my mother was a Christian, therefore I'm a Christian. Others will go, well, because I wear my sign all the time that I'm a Christian, and so therefore I am a Christian. But that doesn't matter just because of what sign that you wear. It doesn't matter just because of what you say about yourself. What does God say about you, and what does other people say? Because here's the deal. It doesn't matter how big your sign is. It doesn't matter that how big your sign is that you're trying to portray that, yes, Pastor, I'm a Christian because I'm wearing a cross. Well, it's really not that important that you wear the cross, as important as it is that you carry the cross. It doesn't matter how big your cross is, whether you wear it on the inside or the outside. The question is, are you ready and willing to carry your cross? So here's what we've got to recognize, is that point number one is, don't put pride in your pedigree. Don't put pride in your pedigree. Well, Pastor, I'm this because my dad and mother is this. No, no, that doesn't hold water with God. God doesn't have any grandchildren. All he has is children. Can you say amen? You know why? Because I can talk to you about faith. I can talk to you about religion. I can talk to you about relationship. We can go till we're blue in the face, but until you come to the realization that faith is personal, and I don't mean, well, we don't talk about it because faith is personal. No, that means that faith is personal. It's something that you got to do for you and nobody else. That I can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. Grandpappy can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your girlfriend can't do it for you. Your boyfriend can't do it for you. It's got to be personal. That's why we call it a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we've got to come to. There is no royal lineage or holy bloodline in the kingdom that I'm talking about. I understand that Jesus came from a royal bloodline. I understand all that. But what I'm trying to tell you is Ezekiel 18:20 says this. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The Son will not share the guilt of the Father, nor will the Father share the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. And what that comes into is, you can't blame your problem on your pedigree. And you cannot promote yourself based on, hey, Pastor, or hey, God, my dad wore a big cross, so therefore I've got to be saved. I remember when my children were smaller, they would hear somebody, a secular song, say something about prayer or God, and immediately they'd say, well, Dad, they must be Christians. Just because they say they're Christian doesn't mean they're Christian. You know, it's amazing to me that brother, I can see his face. Loran Livingston told this story on himself. Now, I'm not advocating you should do it, but he told this on himself. He's a motorcycle rider. He loves riding motorcycles. And he takes Mondays off, and it was one of those weekends. He just needed to get away, and he lives in North Carolina. So he went up into the mountains riding. He rode a couple of hours. He was just by himself, just riding. He's got a really nice Harley motorcycle, and he was just riding and enjoying himself. And he got thirsty, so he seen some other bikes parked at this, what he thought was maybe Sportster or a sports bar or something like that. So he thought he would go in and get him a Coke and maybe a cheeseburger or something. So he pulled in there, and when he comes into the door, it's not a biker's place like I would think of a biker's place, you know, suburban bikers. It's a real biker. No, these boys don't play. So he says, I walk in. He said, and the biggest dude in the joint grabs me by the shoulder and pulls me in and go, how you doing, dude? That's a nice motorcycle you have. He said, thank you. He said, I think I'll take it. And so he walks him over to the bar. He says, have one on me, and gives him a beer and puts it right in front of him. And so he goes out to look at his bike. And another guy comes up and tells this pastor, dude, you're in trouble. Why am I in trouble? He said that, I forget his name. He says so and so. He's the leader of our group, and he really wants your bike. And so more than likely he's going to take it. And so, make a long story short, he come up with a way to get out of this situation. So he started going back to his bike, and the biker said, where are you going? I want your bike. He says, man, and he was totally lying. He said, man, he said, my wife's in the hospital dying from cancer. And I just had to get away for a little while because of the fact that I just couldn't take it anymore, and I just needed to clear my head. And so I just need to get back. He said, man, the biker said, you go right ahead. And listen, you tell your wife we're going to be praying for her. Now, that's kind of a two-edged sword, isn't it? You got a preacher lying. Oh, I forgot to tell you this part, that they put a beer there and said, drink up. And so he took the beer and he put it to his lips like he was chugging it, but he didn't drink it. He said, but I was scared to death. So I just put it up to my lips and put it back down. So you got a preacher who doesn't look like a preacher, but yet is, you know, skirting some issues. And then you got this biker who is all about the biker life, but yet says, man, tell your wife we're going to be praying for her. So just because you pray doesn't make you a saint. You know, I love one of my dad. I don't know if it's my dad's, but I've always heard him say it. He said, in the foxhole of war, there are no atheists. Because you're scared. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here's the reason, church. We all start out in the same condition, whether we were born and raised in the church or whether we're outside the church. We all start with the same condition. You was not born with a salvation in your life already. It's got to be asked for. It's got to be received from Jesus Christ. Just as religious heritage brings no bonus points, I've come by to tell you that a secular heritage brings no deficits. That it doesn't matter if you were born in the church, it doesn't bring bonus points, but it also doesn't bring deficits if you was born in a crack house. Because with God, we all start at the same place. We're all in need of salvation. Can you say amen? We're all in need of God. We're all in need of His salvation. Family trees can't save you, and family trees can't ultimately make your decision for you. Family trees can't make you be something that you don't want to be, because Jesus Christ has given us the power to break every generational curse that is in our life. Once I've been bought by the price of the blood of Jesus, He said, behold, all things have been changed. All things have been washed away. All things, and I have become a new creature. So don't put your trust, point number two, is don't put your trust in your symbol. You see, on my left hand, I wear a wedding ring. It's a gold ring. It's got a couple of diamonds in it. It's not real elaborate, but it's priceless. It's priceless to me. Why? Because, well, I've got a very small one that I wear from time to time. I haven't worn it in years, but it's still in my drawer, because it is the first one that a 20-year-old woman gave me as a token of her affection, and I gave her a ring as a token of my affection, and we come into covenant together, and we made covenant between God and us and people, and the ring is a symbol of my love. Now hear me, church. The ring is a symbol of our love. It's a statement of our love. It's a declaration of our love, but it is not the source of our love. See, there are people who put too much faith in the symbols of something rather than the something. There are people who love the church, but not God. There are people who love their church group, but not God. There are people who love church music, but not God. And if you don't love God, it doesn't matter how much you love the symbols of God. You know, I know people who take their cross that they wear very sacred. It is a very sacred thing. And they always talk about, well, I wear it close to my heart. I don't care. And I'm not trying to be confrontational, or I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But I don't care how big your cross is that you wear. How about the cross that you carry? Church, the ring that I wear, when Sherry and I have a spat, and she's down in at Jillian's today. We moved her Friday, and she's there helping her get housekeeping set up. So we didn't have a spat, and she left me. I just want you to know that. But if and when we have a spat, I don't take the ring off and put it on a pedestal and pray to it. I don't rub it for wisdom. I don't even kiss it. You know how people are. You know those people kiss their cross. Don't be offended. If I offend you, please don't be offended. There'll be plenty of other times to be offended. Don't get offended over this stuff. If I lose my ring, it doesn't mean that my marriage is over. If I take my ring off and throw it on the floor, it doesn't change the fact that I'm still married. Because I cannot put my faith and my trust in a symbol. Whether it be a ring or whether it be a cross. You know, I've counseled with married people who've taken their rings and thrown it at each other. Okay, you can flush it in the toilet. Doesn't mean that you're not married no more. You're still married. If I were to become a jerk, don't you say amen. If I were to become a jerk and abusive and had no love for her, had no love for the children, and she told me to leave, could I counter with this? But baby, I've always kept my wedding ring on. No, but that's what we do. We get into God. God, I go to church regularly. Or God, I tithe. God, I wear my cross. Lord, I plan on taking communion this coming Sunday. Lord, I plan on getting baptized. Lord, I was baptized. Yeah, I love when you ask people, you know, if they're saved and they give you their pedigree. Are you saying, I was baptized in so-and-so, and I was saved so, and I've been raised up in the church. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, was you saved? See, church, apart from love, this ring has little meaning other than love. Will this ring keep me from committing adultery? Why? It's a symbol. That's right. Sherry will. Apart from love, the ring has no meaning. The symbol, hear closely, the symbol represents love, but it cannot replace love. Just like a cross being worn, or an insignia on your car, or honk if you love Jesus, what would Jesus do? All those things can be seen on the outward. All those things can be a symbol of what's going on in the inside, but it does not replace what's going on the inside. You can have it all together. I was raised in a very, what's the word I'm looking for? The church that I was raised in, we were very, I was a heathen. They were, very religious and very, very dogmatic, very, old fashioned. And so there were times, even as an adult, my dad would look at a woman, not in a bad way, but would look at a woman with their hair up and their long dresses and no makeup. And my dad would say things like, see, you know, that's holiness right there. I said, no, that is not. You have no idea who they are or what they are about. Cause I know, I can tell you, one of the holiest outwardly looking holiness women you'll ever meet in Citrus County used to attend this church. She couldn't take us, but she used to attend this church. And I happened to come up behind her at Walmart as she was cussing the cashier out. Holy. Hair so long, she'd step on it. Holy. I mean, no makeup. God knows that woman needs some paint on that barn. But anyway, no makeup. I mean, somebody needs to cut that hair or do something because it's some nasty mess. But anyway, holy woman. On the outward. But yet, on the inside was spewing venom everywhere. And I walked up behind her as she was cussing this person out. And she blah, blah, blah. And she was shaking her head like she had some weave. So she was going on with it. And then she got through. And I said, well, God bless you too. Well, she made me mad. And I said, I understand. I said, trust me. I know. Pastor, you were being judgmental. Don't judge me. You don't know me. You don't know what I was thinking. I'll tell you what I was thinking. I wish I could do that to you. But I didn't. We substitute a contemporary symbol such as cross or baptism or communion or church membership. I'm a church member now, God, so ignore my rebellion. I'm a church member now, God, so ignore everything else I do that disdains you and brings ridicule to your name and throw up on your grace and your mercy. But overlook it, God, because I've been baptized. I've spoken tongues. See, that's one for the Pentecostals. We speak in tongues, so therefore we're okay. No. Don't put pride in your pedigree. Don't put your faith in your symbol. Symbols are important. I'm not saying they're not. Some of them, like communion and baptism, illustrate the cross of Christ. They symbolize salvation. They demonstrate salvation, even articulate salvation, but they do not impart salvation. Am I talking to anybody? 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Putting your trust in a symbol is like claiming to be a savior or a sailor because you got a tattoo. Or claiming to be a good husband because you wear a wedding ring. Claiming to be a good wife because you have a wedding. Claiming to be a good mother just because you got children. Jesus saves us, not because we trust in a symbol, but because we trust in a Savior. From God's perspective, church, there's no difference between the ungodly drunk, the ungodly drug abuser, the ungodly finger pointer, or the ungodly pew setter. There's no difference. If you're ungodly, you're still ungodly. The penthouse gang, there's no difference. The penthouse gang or the drug pushers posse. There's no difference. Or the church choir. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're rich, poor, young, old, ugly, or good looking. It doesn't matter who you are, what status you have, what symbol you wear. The message is still clear. Without God, we all are still lost. Romans 3:10 says, no, not one is righteous. No, not one. Point number three is this. Don't try to do what only God can do. God knows his children are without their father. And he knows we are powerless to return to him without his help. What separates us from God? What separates us from God? I'll tell you what it is. It's a sin. Sin is what separates us. We aren't strong enough to remove it, and we're not good enough to erase it. You can't do it. For all of our differences, we share one problem. We're separated by sin. We're separated from God, and we can't get back there to on our own. That's why Jesus came, so that we could get back to him on our own, so that we could come back to him. He knew that we couldn't do it by ourselves. He had to give us a plan, and Jesus is that plan. Where do I fit? Where do you fit? Well, let's talk about it for a moment. The hedonists, they blow it because they are pleasure-centered and not God-centered. The judgmentalists blow it because they're high-minded and not God-minded. And the legalists blow it because they are work-driven and not God-driven. The first disregards God. The second distracts from God. But the third tries to reimburse God. And there's no way that we can reimburse God. We've got to depend on the plan of God to bring us to salvation. We've got to depend on the plan of God to bring us back to him. And his plan is John 3:3. Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why you and I can stand up here today and stand there and lift up holy hands to a holy God. Not because of the sign that's on the church, or not because of the symbol on our car, not because of the Jesus lapel pin, or not because the cross that we wear, but it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to our life. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by mercy. I'm not saved by communion. I'm not saved just because I took communion. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm saved not because I've been baptized. I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And all these other things are great, but yet they do not save. Oh, I'm preaching better than your amen, but that's all right. Because salvation is God's business. It ain't ours. In order to be saved from the storm of sin, you have to anchor to something bigger than yourself and stronger than the storm. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The only one who can save us is God. We can't save ourselves. How many knows that if we could, we would save every last one of our children? Every last one of our family members. But we can't do it. It is not in our power. We can pray. We can believe. We can show. We can be the example. But only God saves. So what does your sign say about you? What sign are you wearing? God is the one that saves his children. Acts 4:12 says, for there is no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved, but by the name of Jesus Christ. That name is not mine. That name is not yours. That name is Jesus Christ. And let me end it with this. God does what we cannot do so we can be what we dare not dream. Perfect before God. How can you say that you are perfect before God, Pastor? Only by the grace of God. Only by the blood of Jesus. Because he looks at me through the blood. What does your sign say today? What are you trying to portray? I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. I never like a Sunday morning to go by without me giving the opportunity that if you don't know Jesus, for you come to get to know him. And it's as simple as asking him to come into your life, forgive you of your sin. According to Romans 10:9, you shall be saved. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you're not saved this morning, would you just lift up your hand if you want to get it right with God? And you can put it right back down. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet then with me? want you to take a few moments. And ask God the question, because I can't answer it for you. You can. Only you can. I want you to ask yourself the question and ask God. Where do you put your trust? Some people it's their wallet. Some people it's their money. Some people it's their intellect. See, the real you is going to come out. Would you just lift up a hand and say, God, show me who I am. Lord, do I have my trust in a symbol or a pedigree? Lord, am I in right standing with you? And if not, just make it right, right there. Holy Spirit of God. If not for grace, where would I be? You only know, you only see through eyes of love. It was a hopeless place, an empty place. If not for it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. Was a hopeless place, an empty place, if not for grace. Father, I pray over this congregation this morning. God, help us to put our trust in you, our faith in you. Well, nothing wrong with crosses and insignias. But God, help us for people to see you in us. In your name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Our family focus hour starting. See you tonight at 6.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.